welcome to the Goal Lines Podcast, your Mid-Missouri football guide. If you don't already subscribe, find us on Apple Podcasts and Google Play.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's installment of the News Tribune Football Podcast featuring the Jefferson City Jays. I'm your host, Tony Hawley, sitting here with Trevor Hahn of the News Tribune. Before Trevor and I start to break things down this week, let's listen to a little bit of Trevor's conversation with Jays head coach Eric Thomas.
All right, Coach. Well, that was a tough one last week that kind of got away from you guys pretty early. Just kind of watching that game back, what jumped out to you?
I think the biggest thing is our kids didn't quit. They kept playing, trying to compete throughout the night. I think they also kept composure really well in a situation that would have been easy to lose composure. And we've had some kids that have been working through some of that. So I was proud of them to see that and continue to scratch and claw and rush the passer and do all the things that we were asking them to do. And there wasn't any quit in the game.
Yeah, now you're bouncing back into a home conference game, but it's a homecoming week. So as an alma mater of this program, just kind of what does homecoming mean to you?
It's a big deal around here. I mean, it's a tradition to win homecoming games. And, the big thing for me is keeping our kids focused on the task at hand. There's a lot of activities around here right now. There's a lot of things going on, and we just need to make sure that we're focused on getting better and preparing and getting ready for a good Sedalia team on Friday night.
Yeah, and just kind of how big of a bounce-back situation is this for you guys? Just kind of how important is that?
I think it's extremely important to go out and play well. That's kind of where we were at week one, and then come back to week two and have a similar opponent to us and have a chance to bounce back. And, that's what you want to see from your kids is continuing progression throughout the year and flushing last week and going on to a new opponent.
Yeah, and just talking about Smith Cotton a little bit, just watching film on them, kind of what jumps out.
I think they're well coached. I think Coach Gray does a tremendous job. I've known him for a while, since his days when he was at Kearney and their defensive coordinator. So obviously they're very well coached and do things the right way, you might say. I mean, they're a improved football team from what I saw on film from last year. I think they're pretty athletic on the perimeter and continue to get better throughout the season goes. I mean, they were able to keep up with Camdenton on some things on the perimeter and do some things really well. So, they're a good football team.
Yeah, and just offensively, just kind of what has jumped out to you so far watching them? What should fans expect?
Well, I mean, they're kind of a mixed bag right now, and I think that's some of the opponent that they have played. I mean, I think they want to run the football. They're 70-30 in certain situations, wanting to run the ball. But then they also have played some really good defenses where they've gotten behind the chains and have had to throw the football at times. So I think that's where we're at. It's probably similar to us in a lot of ways where they don't really want to throw the football but have had to throw the football at times. And I think it starts with their run game. They're a kind of a pro style offense where you're going to get pro and twins and some different things there, but they move their fullback, H back around quite a bit. So we think he's the key to things.
Yeah, and just defensively, scheme wise, what have you seen from them?
It's a very similar defense to what we run. It's kind of a scheme that a lot of people have kind of started using and manipulating, you might say, for spread type teams. It's a 3-man front. With three safeties on the field and three linebackers on the field and then two corners. So a lot of skill guys around, a lot of speed on the field. So they're able to match up with your speed and things on the perimeter. So I think, again, it's going to be one at the line of scrimmage, and can we run the football?
All righty. Thanks, Coach. Mm-hmm.
Okay, that was Jays head coach Eric Thomas. Trevor, I just got to say, I don't remember seeing a lot of 63-6 scores in Jefferson City football history, unless it was the Jays doing that to someone else. So last week, that loss to Rockbridge was a definite anomaly.
That was a rough one, to say the least, and it really got away from them early, and there was some key mistakes that they made early on that kind of let Rockbridge run away.
first possession on defense, Rockbridge got themselves backed up behind the sticks on two separate occasions from self-inflicted wounds, and Jeff City was not able to take advantage of that and get them off the field. Rockbridge goes down, scores a touchdown, goes up 7-0. Jeff City had a key fourth down on their first drive, and they took a deep shot down the field on a post, and Kendrick was running open on the play, and it was just slightly overthrown, and turnover on downs, and then things kind of spiral from there. Rockbridge goes up 14-0. Jeff City's driving, looks like they might tie the game. They throw a running back screen pass, it gets deflected, pick six the other way, 21-0, and it was basically all over from there. Things just kind of spiraled, but you just listened to Coach Thomas talking about how he was proud of how the team kept their composure in the second half, and I'm not going to lie, I kind of was too, because that game got ugly. There was many things that could have set those kids off. Rockbridge definitely did not take their foot off the gas pedal.
I was going to say, it's easy to keep your composure when you're just running out the string, but when the other team looks like it's still trying to keep scoring for some reason when they're already up 40, you kind of wonder about, okay, I'd get a little ticked off too. So, if the kids were able to keep their composure, good on them, because a lot of people would not be in that situation.
Yeah, and they kept their starters in the whole time. They were taking deep shots down the field, and they were almost running a no-huddle offense in the final minute to try and go at another one. And on top of that, Rockbridge ended up with 159 penalty yards. They got probably seven-ish post-play. Either unnecessary roughness, unsportsmanlike conduct, fill in the blank. And so they were really trying to poke at Jefferson City and try and get a response. And for the most part, they didn't give that. There was a couple offsetting penalties after plays, so they kind of lost 30 yards there. But for the most part, from what you can ask of 15 to 18-year-old kids, I think they kept their composure pretty well.
Well, and you got to kind of wonder just what is the point at a certain point. I mean, and again, you're not going to tell kids to stop playing hard, but you as a coach, there's plenty of other things you can do. You can take people out. You can, take starters out, put in reserves. You can do other things. You can run different things. I think you can kind of look at it and go, Halaya scored 90 at Hickman a couple weeks ago and didn't try to score 90. It sounds like Rockbridge scored 63 against Jeff City and tried to score 63. So at a certain point, you just go, okay, I guess that's their choice. And, you just go, okay, well, we'll see. Just, sometimes things come around later on, and you hope that maybe they get what's coming to them at some point later on down the road.
Yeah, and I was standing there on the sideline, and it was not a secret. I was not feeling very well, and I'm just kind of suffering through that game. And in every offensive series for Rockbridge, the starters come back on the field, and it's like, man, this is weird. First play, deep shot, and it's like, okay, this is very intentional, and it just kept going and going, and you were waiting for the point where they kind of called off the dogs, and like I mentioned, even on the last drive, they showed no signs of wanting to do that, so that's their prerogative. They can do what they want with their team. Standing on the sideline, Jeff City was clearly not very happy with that, but I think the biggest note is luckily no key injuries came out of that from either side. I was really worried about a D1 quarterback from Rockbridge having a season ended in something like that.
Sure.
And he played fantastic. Brady Davidson's a great player, so I was really happy to see him not get hurt in a game that easily could have gone that way. So, yeah, it was not something you see every day, but not going to harp on it too much. I feel like I've already done that.
Well, the end result is the Jays dropped to 1-2 overall and 0-2 in the CMAC. I think there's a chance to get well this week. I don't think it's any surprise where you go, okay, after a game like that, you want a winnable game. Well, you've got a winnable game because you're hosting Smith Cotton tonight. The Tigers are 0-3 overall and 0-2, and it's not just an 0-3 where you go, it's not too bad. It's they've given up some big scores in each one of them and lost pretty decisively. They lost 46-14 at Camden last week, lost 50-0 to those Rockbridge Bruins, and then lost 42-26 to open the season at Warrensburg. So you go, well, this is the exact type of time where you go, we need a get right game, and we've got Smith Cotton. I mean, maybe the team that we get right against.
Yeah, it's definitely a get right opportunity, but I don't think it'll be any walk in the park tonight. Obviously, Smith Cotton's going to be very hungry coming in 0-3, and much like Jeff City, their two conference opponents have been two of the top tier teams in the conference, or at least in that battle with Camdenton and Rockbridge. So yeah, this Smith Cotton team has definitely taken their lumps early on in the season, and they're coming off two back-to-back blowout losses after kind of a winnable game that they let slip away against Warrensburg. So they're going to be a very hungry team, and obviously Jeff City is in the same boat. And if it has kind of the same feel as that Sullivan game in week 2, coming off a big loss, getting back on the home field, and obviously homecoming's tonight, Saturday, but the homecoming game is tonight, so that adds a little bit of extra intrigue, distractions, however you want to put it. So it's going to be an interesting one with two hungry teams, and we'll see which team's hungrier.
So yeah, let's discuss a couple things, so I was going to get to it later, but why as well now. You mentioned it's homecoming. Homecoming always comes with a ton of possible distractions. It's a matter of how can you limit those and don't let them distract you. So I guess the first thing would be to say, okay, I know with Eric Thomas being a Jay grad and being, you know, all embracing Jay pride and being part of that, part of you wants to celebrate homecoming because you're going to see a lot of people coming back. You're going to see a lot of alumni. You're going to see a lot of people who, you know, have meant a lot to the program over the years. So I probably think it's sort of thing where he's not going to discount it, but he's going to want to make sure that they handle things properly tonight.
Yeah, and we heard a little bit in the clip from him talking about it. He was real quick to say it is a tradition to win these games, obviously. The Jefferson City loves to talk about how Pete Atkins never lost a homecoming game, and he was a part of that era. But then he was real quick to shift the focus into it's very, very important to keep the players focused through all these distractions and trying to add in stuff throughout the week to make sure that they are focused on the task at hand, because there's obviously the parade, the dance, all the added stuff that goes into it. So they're trying to do whatever they can to keep the minds focused on the goal, and that goal is to get back on the winning side today.
Right. Well, let's start with just from the defensive standpoint. You mentioned the fact that it's not a totally punchless Smith Cotton team. I mean, they've scored some points, but it sounds like things might be unsettled at the most important spot on the roster for them in terms of, it sounds like they've used four quarterbacks, so that's never a good sign for anybody. I don't care what you're trying to accomplish.
Yeah, and I'm not 100% sure what's going on with that situation. Bo Gray has been the starter the last 2 years watching this team, and he started week one and played a little bit in week two, and then he was replaced by Dax Whisker, who started last week, and then he had two people come in relief of him with Gavin Jackson and Ian Jackson. So all four of them, the offense kind of remains the same. They still try to do the same thing. So there isn't much difference to prepare for, and they're not sure which quarterback they're going to see tonight. Right. But they said that they're more worried about the scheme than anything because, like I mentioned, there's not much that's going to change. They're still going to line up out of the pistol. They're still going to try and get short passes and let their wide receivers and running backs make plays in space. So it not much is going to be different, but with what's going on with the quarterback situation there, I don't have a clear answer, and I have no idea who's going to start. So we shall see tonight.
Yeah, I guess that's the interesting part, is you just have to adapt to whoever's out there and kind of see what they're going to bring. I think on the flip side, though, is, again, when you're getting outscored 138-40 on the season, it sounds like, you know, defense is maybe more of the problem than the offense. Offense has scored some, not probably enough, but obviously you need to probably do a better job slowing people down. So how do the Jays tonight keep things awful for Smith Cotton in terms of let's keep the defense struggling?
One big note, and it helps out Jeff City, is that Smith Cotton runs almost an identical scheme that Jeff City does. Okay. So they're going to be able to replicate that scheme with scout team pretty easily at practice this week. And I think they feel like they're ahead of the game. And obviously everything for Jeff City's offense, and didn't really mention it for Smith Cotton, but they're the same. Starts with the run game, especially with Smith Cotton plays in so many quarterbacks, you kind of want to help out those guys with getting a run game going, and Jeff City's in the same situation. They played both quarterbacks again last week, and neither had a particularly strong game, and so they really want to get that run game going and kind of open up the opportunities for play action and deep shots down the field when defenses start cheating down, and Smith Cotton's going to line up with a three-man front, so that's kind of appetizing for a run game. So I would definitely expect Jefferson City to come out and run the ball a little bit more, and then run the ball again, and see what comes after that.
Jays have not lost in quite some time in this series, so what's the number at right now?
It is 26 straight versus Smith Cotton, and kind of surprisingly, they only lead the series 44-27 with three ties, even with that 26-game win streak. So they definitely took some lumps early in that series history, but you got to go all the way back to October 21st, 1955 for the last loss to this team. So that is a very, very, very long time, and I'm not saying it's going to happen, but there is a possibility that that ends tonight. If Jeff City does not come out and play a good game and turns the ball over like they have in their losses, that is very clearly a recipe for disaster and could lead to a loss to this team, no matter how winnable the game is.
How do things look on the injury front for the Jays heading into this one?
There's no key injuries of note. Mentioned last week that Zach Barnes is going to make his season debut. He was able to get a carry, got a catch out of the slot, so, and they're really wanting to get him more and more involved with the offense. That's a guy that produced big numbers last year in his opportunities, so they're really wanting to make him not necessarily a focal point, but more involved and get him the ball in space, and he might even make his debut on defense this week, so they're really getting him up to speed, and that hamstring's in a good spot. But other than that, they're pretty healthy.
Well, you mentioned that this is not a foregone conclusion, so I'll be interested to see who you pick to win this one. I'll also be interested to see if you also pick it to be 20-21 or if we're going with a different score this week.
Well, a little spoiler alert, I made the picks in the paper that ran Thursday morning, and I did go with 28-21.
Of course you did.
So might as well keep that going, and one of these times is going to end 28-21.
How much would you like to bet on that?
I don't have that many opportunities, and that is against our rules now. I signed that document, so I will not make that bet, but I will pick Jefferson City to win 28-21.
All right, that should do it for this week. For Trevor Hahn, I'm Tony Hawley saying thanks for listening.
For more information about this week's game, pick up a copy of the Goal Line section in Friday's News Tribune, and get game updates and more prep sports content all week by following Trevor Hahn on Twitter at TrevHahn3. That's TrevHahn3. Thanks for listening.